Good afternoon and a warm welcome to the service this afternoon. Good to see everyone gathered here today as we seek to worship God and as we look forward to Him ministering to us through John Murdoch, as He has done over these past days. The services today are, after this service, there will be the prayer meeting at 6 this evening, and that will be led by the elders. Anthony Latham will be leading that prayer meeting this evening. That's at 6 o'clock. All are welcome to that. And then at 7:30, after the prayer meeting, there will be an informal fellowship here in the community centre. And Joanne and Gordon McLeod will both share a word of testimony during that fellowship this evening. Tomorrow the services will be at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. The morning service, where we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, will be conducted by the Reverend James McKeever, and the evening service at 6 will be conducted by the Reverend Joe Murdo, Jodo again. And the service tomorrow evening will be followed by a fellowship here in the community centre, where both Jodo and James will be sharing something of their testimony and possibly their call into ministry. A reminder again that the session is open, and those who know and who love the Lord but haven't yet professed their faith in Him, there's opportunity to do so and meet with the session at the end of the service today. So these, I think, are all the intimations at this point, and I'll hand over to Jeremiah.
Thank you, David, and it's lovely to be with you here again this morning. Just give me a wee moment to get set up. And we are here to worship our God. That is why we are gathered, and we come with a rejoicing and a joy within our hearts that He has placed a desire in there for us to be here, gathered with His people to praise His great and holy name. Now we're going to begin this worship service by singing in Gaelic to God's praise Psalm 91. Psalm 91 in Gaelic. And I'll read out the verses in English. He that doth in the secret place of thee most high reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. I of the Lord my God will say, He is my refuge still, He is my fortress and my God, and in Him trust I will. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, in Gaelic to God's praise.
Thank you.
Ask Mr. John McSween to lead us in prayer in Gaelic.
Oh, ye were in English pianist. When the Kimurik and the Fogos Shinya Kunyaka, if our Lochy for Hot the Harper knew the pay, and so last the Simeter Emirator Hacking. These Gavishin, Moin Ganaman, Hook the Estagain, and the return of Shomachinach and Edison. And in the Sakin gave Yanichiku, Kochmile, the Sakin, the tourist of Esser, Hasti, Fruit, Husi Kunyahu, Kassin, Tiktobo of Pain, and you see Horsta. I have to listen to your show. To listen to your show. Who's the soul of Cavill? He is a canvas to his Verkir and he had creature. I think that the world of his own wishing had been an old. But the head of his he would have not missed. And he can look at the walls and ask her God to mercy. Who's had a God to follow sin. Can we tell you in Piach's mind you and then you can banish the high root of the easy? At the one who gave you an answer to Joseph Arimathea, who was a Jewish, Shenhukashach, and the body of some land in Red Tamil, and Yach Shenhavah, and the way God, who was a new year, Blahaha. Which I got to work for a tourist in the past, or a liar story in India. And it's going to be, you're going to ask me back in, run on the way, you're going to support me, and the way, it was either Vars or Gugahas. She asked me, Sabbath, to see here, it was like the war, to Rahim, a kid, a chain, and it was in the sheriff. Was my kidna for a notion of a pact on the Vita Shacha. And in Kinchen, again, Israeli there. A happy astus in a small actus, union, a piastus in the heathen. But who would have been cheered and funny? So toss the one, Kachlai Mushen. Satus told us, Lord, a Jew, Maravai Jays, and your Palavach Kitchenet. Says in Kuchuka gave you an Stefania to hold us in the Lord. It was the Atsina Kuru, Pentindish. A Kwen Yusidish, so Pentin, the Lord, our Lord, the Maravitna, our Ruyach and Fay, who was our General Slan Palanet. Who was spared to Lochku, but the whole thing is a Jenna for the V and the V and the V. The other Shimaha Koni Hele, who was foolish in the Santa Lana of the Hay, First Corinthians chapter 3, Fochkulam say Lavustain, Yanni Kartachi and Dangshinimach, Kapitahi used the whole of Sach. Such a wall of Kuchach, Kutush, Tukushach, Nadnis, Moi, a soul genitri, with a Kuma, Tauber to Suez, given in Nachmishina, in the Fechina, Kabushini gave Yanit. Pianach yn hwain eisiau, rwysg yn un eich einach, ta hwys pei o chwy. So sy'n tafaniad, rwys yn y cilwch, hwn sgach ni ele fe cilwch. Gwbw yn hwain y pas lawt i'r stac, gwbw y ddews, gwbw iatein yn gwyddi yn treid mar y cil. Pianach dy hedd efo sy'n chi anna'r mis, a dyfodd y sons, bydd mae'n ddew. And when the man is attacking you, he's attacking you, and go your mellow pay. You be at the Nuruk of the Mishnah, you say, Bianach. So we crew school of Tokku pay. You say, sir, crew school of the Chiyuva Sen. The fast is you, Skuda de Machtar. And it's new list for me, man, it's good suit, and I could not do his car things.
Thank you, Max Sweeney. We'll continue in our worship of God this morning, this afternoon now, isn't it? This afternoon by singing the Mission Praise 396. Mission Praise 396. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 6, just as I am, thy love unknown, hath broken every barrier down, now to thee, thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. So that's Mission Praise 396, to God's praise and glory. I invite you now, would you please open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Philippians and at chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 1. Philippians 4 and at verse 1, and this is the word of God. Therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yes, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply you every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And may the Lord bless that reading of his own holy and inerrant word. And we're going to continue to worship God by singing this time in Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 down to the end of the verse marked 5. Like as the hart for water brooks, in thirst doth pant and bray, so pants my longing soul, O God, that come to thee I may. In verse 5, O why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet. His countenance is my aid. Psalm 42, to God's praise and glory.
Like
Oh, God, that come.
before we have a look at God's word, we'll unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal and ever-blessed God, you have granted us another day. And Father, we rejoice in this day. Father, we rejoice in you and all that you mean to us in our lives. And Lord, we marvel and we are astounded at your mercy and at your grace. And Father, we just come before you now as a congregation of your people, and we call out to you from the depths of our very hearts, that we would open our hearts to you in prayer just now. Not just the prayers coming from the pulpit, Lord, but the prayers of all your people here. That we would be of one mind and of one spirit to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified again this day. Father, help us to decrease and help him to increase. Oh Lord, may he be all in all and everything to us. Father, we thank you for the gospel of free grace. We thank you for the sacrifice of the Son of God at Calvary. Oh Lord God, we thank you also for the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, we just come this day seeking assurance. We come this day seeking that peace that surpasses all understanding, that would guard our hearts. Heavenly Father, as we look and study your word, may we be led to you and may we learn more about you, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we enter into this day, Father, we would know your presence and your nearness. And Lord, we just pray that as we ready ourselves to be seated at your table, God willing, tomorrow, that you would steady our hearts, that you would take away all anxiety and worry. And Father, we pray in particular for young Kyle, Lord. We thank you for his profession of faith. We rejoice in our hearts that you, O Lord, are at work in our midst. Oh Lord, may we be blessed today and may you get all the glory. So Father, we just ask that you would go before us this day. And Lord, we remember once again those who are housebound. Father, we pray that you would be with them in a very special and real way. Lord, we know that those who belong to Christ, O Lord, who belong to this church, who are housebound, will be praying for us even now. We remember, Lord, those in Harris House as well, and the staff. Lord, would you bless them today and be with them there too. Father, help us to and remind us of our need of Jesus. Lord, we are reminded by the singing of that psalm in Psalm 42 that we are indeed weak and frail creatures. And Lord, there are times in our Christian experience where our hearts may very well be downcast and where anxieties may plague us. But Lord, you are greater than all of our anxieties. And Lord, we pray that that peace would be with us here even this day. So, Father, we pray that you would go before us now and bless us, for Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. So if you would turn back with me, please, to the portion of Scripture that we read in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look in particular at verses 4 to 7. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read again the verses marked 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul speaking, of course, here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord does not want his children to be anxious about anything. That is quite simply the message in these verses. Do not be anxious. Prayer brings somebody said, why worry when you can trust? It's worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities, with yesterday's troubles. We all know what it is like to worry. We all know what it is like to be anxious, even as children of God. But the Lord does not want his children to be anxious. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. So what is anxiety and what is worry from a biblical perspective? Well, it's a vast subject, it's a vast topic, and we're only going to scratch the surface of it here, but the main thing I want to put across here is the remedy for it. The remedy for worry and the remedy for anxiety. Well, anxiety came into the world when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. When they fell in the garden, they experienced anxiety because they sinned against God. And what did they do? They hid themselves from God, realizing their nakedness. And they would have had that vague sense that something was wrong, something has changed here after sin entered in. A change of circumstance that did not please God. That brought worry and anxiety. And you can just picture Adam and you can picture Eve trying to hide away from God. Hiding away from God, anxious and worried and nervously sewing these fig leaves together to cover their shame and to cover their nakedness. That sense of vulnerability had entered into the world. And that apprehension which all of us as humans feel. We must also remember that this is a state or an emotional experience that is contrary to what God wanted for his people. Isaiah the prophet relays God's words in chapter 48 and at verse 18. Oh, that you had paid attention. If only you had paid attention, Isaiah says to the people, to my commandments, to God's commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Proverbs has much to say also about anxiety and worry. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. And so it does, doesn't it? It weighs us down when we're anxious and when we worry. But the proverb finishes, but a good word makes him glad. What makes us glad? The promises of God in this good word. You will remember Hannah if you go all the way back to 1 Samuel. And she was expressing her anxiety, which also had a visible manifestation. She was praying and her mouth was moving and Eli the priest thought she was actually drunk. Do you remember? Hannah was having this dispute with Peninnah, which caused her anxiety. You see, the scriptures are full of stories and full of the experiences of God's people who suffered with anxiety and with worry. Moses also at one time would suffer with it. David. So we're not alone. When we say with the psalmist, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, and when you look at it from a scientific perspective, and I am no scientist, but anxiety, as we all know, is a sense of fear and apprehension. And it puts us on high alert. That's what it does. It puts us on high alert. It puts us on our toes. And it is meant, and what it does is it gives us this heightened sense of awareness. Looking for potential threats. And you can think of situations where anxiety may be quite helpful. You could think of a soldier in war, or a policeman in a threatening situation, or a sailor who suddenly the boat has started taking on water. You're more aware, you're anxious, and you start to think and you start to move and you start to get things done. So yes, it can be positive in some sense, but when we feel excessive anxiety, that is when we have problems. Our bodies turn to this flight or fright response, and we feel that tense sensation in our stomachs. That sense of dread. That is anxiety. That heightened sense of awareness. Paul did not want this Philippian congregation to be anxious. And the apostle has already touched on issues that may have made these Christians anxious. Perhaps they were anxious about the assurance of their salvation. He's already spoken about that in chapter 1. And he assures them in verse 6 of chapter 1. You know this verse very well. I am sure of this, the apostle says. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is absolutely certain and assured that the folks in this Philippian church, that they belong to Christ, and they should stop doubting. I am sure, I am positive of this. I have seen your fruit. My spirit works alongside your spirit. I know. Do not be anxious about your assurance, he says. What else could the Philippian church here may well have been anxious about? Well, in the letter, Paul also warns them about false teachers who are coming in. Who are coming in, and they may very well have been anxious about that. In chapter 3 and at verse 2, also we have, they may very well have been anxious about Syntyche and Euodia, these two wonderful women who have served so well in the church. They have fallen out. And he commends them and he says, sort it out. So the folk in the Philippian church may well have been anxious about that. The devil getting into the church. That's what he does. He gets in among God's people. That's what he does, isn't it? And that's what was happening in the Philippian church as well. These two ladies who had worked so hard for the gospel, they had fallen out. So they may very well have been anxious about that. They also may very well have been anxious about Paul himself, who was languishing in a Roman jail when he wrote this, and Epaphroditus, his circumstances too. He had gone all the way to see Paul with a gift, and he had nearly died on the way. Paul is saying, listen, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. You will remember the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was touched on this. He was aware of anxiety amongst the people. Then he says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, what does he say? He says, do not be anxious about your life. Well, it's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? But that's what he says. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food? And is the body not more than clothing, he says. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Do they worry? Are they anxious? No, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He looks after them. Are you, as God's children, not more important than the sparrows? Of course, do not be anxious. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. That's how the Lord Jesus closes there. Focus on me, he says. That's what Jesus says. Focus on me. Focus on righteousness. Focus on holiness. Focus on all that is good. We also must remember that man does not live on bread alone. You see, an anxious mind will tell us many things that are not true. You know, and in our times of anxiety or worry, we need to refocus on God. Refocus on God. Because an anxious mind will blow minor worries into mountains. And these mountains at times may paralyze us. And this is not the mindset that Paul wants for the folks in this Philippian church. The Lord does not want you to be anxious about anything. The Lord wants you to focus on Him, be filled with Him, be obedient to Him. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And that is what we're doing today. Hopeful. And with faith being placed in our hearts by God, that He is present with us here this weekend, and that He is at work, extending His kingdom, but also granting to His people a heart that is not anxious, that will not worry, but will look to Him. You see, the book of Philippians is all about rejoicing. The book of Philippians is all about the joy of being in Christ Jesus. He commands them to rejoice in all circumstances. He says it twice to get across his point here. And after all, he and Silas has shown them how this was done. They were languishing in a Roman jail and they were singing and praising God. They did not know if they were going to be alive tomorrow or not, but they were praising God for what the Lord had done in their lives, praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were with them. What a witness. Rejoice. He is saying you belong to Christ. They belong to Jesus. You belong to the one who died for you. You belong to the one who rose again for you. You belong to the one, the Lord of glory, who ascended up there and is seated at the right hand of God and is in control of all things. You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry, he is saying to them. Because this is the one who took the form of a servant. This is the one who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. He has already told them, that their names as fellow workers are in the book of life, chapter 4, verse 3. And do you remember also what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples as they returned from their missionary endeavors? And they were out and they were casting out demons and they were healing and there was people coming to faith and they were rejoicing at all this. This is wonderful, this is marvelous, that the spirits are subject to you. But Jesus says, but rejoice more in this, he says. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You are a believer here today. Your trust and your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your name is written in heaven. Your place is already assured. God will see to that. God will see to that. Paul says to them, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. They, as children of God, they are also citizens of heaven. They have a dual citizenship. And he is saying that they are to have a quiet and a gentle disposition. They are to be different to other people. They are to be known for being balanced in their faith. They are to be known to be intelligent in their faith. And they are to have a decent outlook on life. Let your reasonableness be known, verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. They are to have an outlook which is contrary to the world in which they were living in. You and I also today, we have an outlook, we have a worldview, we have a faith, we have a worldview that is contrary to what the world thinks. We stand out. Be balanced. Be reasonable. Be calm. Don't worry. What he says to the Corinthian church, he says, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. We're to manifest the meekness and the gentleness of Christ in our own lives. We're to image Christ in our own lives. Jesus himself said, I am lowly and I am gentle in spirit. Gentle in heart, Matthew 11:29. Yet at the same time, when you look at the life of the Lord Jesus and when you look at the life of Paul, and you see, yes, they were gentle, they were lowly in heart, but they possessed this resilience and this single-mindedness. And in particular, they had this single-mindedness when it came to being obedient to God. Paul has already commanded them to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. They are to show the world the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22? Love. They are to love. They are to be filled with joy, secondly. They are to have peace, not anxiety. They are to be patient. They're to be kind, filled with goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this gentleness or reasonableness that we as God's people are called to display in our lives, of course, doesn't always work that way in our lives, though, does it? We're still sinners. And within our lives, we have the Spirit warring against the flesh. But yet, the command still stands. And this gentleness and this reasonableness that we are called to as God's people, you see, it goes against the grain of the world in which we live in. It's always gone against the grain of this world in which we live in. We're to be macho. Especially men, to be tough. You know, we're accustomed to thinking of strength and strength of character as being the very opposite of being gentle and having this softness and tenderness within us. As I was preparing this, I came across something very interesting that in World War I, British fighter pilots, they discovered that the best thing to protect their heads from shrapnel was silk. What they did was they would wrap silk, soft, nice silk, around their heads. And then they would put on a leather riding cap And they found that that soft silk was far better and more resilient and tougher and better at protecting their heads than cold, hard steel. And yet, also Jesus showed us the same holds true for human character. Jesus showed us that that gentleness and that heart that is soft toward others and that tenderness that we are called to display is in fact showing qualities of great strength. Strength. You see, being anxious quenches the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and it robs us of our reasonableness, and it robs us of our gentleness. The psalmist asked his own soul, we've just sung it, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? But he doesn't end there. He preaches the gospel to himself. That's what the psalmist does. How does he end? Hope in God, he says to his own soul. He is speaking to his own soul, which is cast down and filled with worry and anxiety. And he says, no, my soul, you will hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the psalmist says. I shall yet praise him. He is my salvation and he is my God. I will not be robbed of my assurance. I trust God. I trust God. It's very possible, we don't know, that the psalmist is probably languishing in exile in Babylon. We don't know where it was written. But he was going through a tough time, but he trusted in God. You will see the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, pretty much asking his soul the same thing. Not as I will, but as you will. We may very well look at that tomorrow night, Gethsemane. Paul does not want anxiety and worry to rob us of our joy and our spiritual vitality, because that's what it does. Martin Lloyd-Jones, many of you have read many of his books, I suppose, yes. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a book on spiritual depression back in the 60s, I think it was, and it's still a bestseller. And he says this, he says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself, he says. Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake in the morning. You have not originated them, he says, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking to you. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you, he says. Now, this man's treatment was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself and reminding himself of the love of God and the gospel. Why are you cast down, O my soul? His soul has been depressing him. And another reason to rejoice, and another reason for us to be gentle and to be filled with the Spirit, Paul says, the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. Verse 5 there, the Lord is at hand. What does Paul mean here when he says the Lord is at hand? Well, we have two options. The first option is that the Lord is imminently about to return to earth. The second option is that the Lord is always present with his people. We'll look at the Lord's return first very briefly. And Paul has already spoken and reminded the Philippians that the Lord is going to return and gather up his people. He's already spoken about it. He calls it the day of Christ in chapter 1 verse 6. And he refers to the completion of their salvation. Your salvation will be absolutely complete the day the Lord returns, he says to them. And he also says that every knee shall bow on that day. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming, he's saying. The Lord Jesus is coming. Paul will delight and he will be proud and he will acknowledge that his work in the Philippian church would not be in vain. They belong to Jesus. Hold fast to the word of life, he says, and persevere in chapter 2 and at verse 16. Paul has also said to them that the day where the Lord Jesus will return, he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Chapter 3, verse 21. You see, his return is both a source of great comfort and it is also a powerful incentive for us in spreading the gospel. Because the Lord is going to return. The second interpretation is that the Lord is always present with his people. That's for sure. We know that as well. The psalmist confirms that the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Psalm 145 verse 18. Psalm 34 18. The psalmist says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is with you, the psalmist is saying, and he saves the crushed in spirit. James, what does James say? Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Now I think Paul here, when he is saying the Lord is near, I think he means both things. I think he is reminding the Philippians the Lord is about to return. But before he returns physically, he is always with you spiritually. He's always near to the brokenhearted. Always. Always. The Lord is near. R.C. Sproul asks the question, what's the big idea of the Christian life? What's the big idea? How would you answer that question? Well, Sproul answers it like this. He says, the big idea of the Christian life is Coram Deo. Coram Deo captures the essence of the Christian life. What does it mean? Well, it's a Latin phrase. And it says something that it refers to something that takes place in the presence or before the face of God. To live Coram Deo is to live one's entire life in the presence of God. We, as God's people, live our entire lives before the face of God, in the presence of God and under the authority of God, all to the glory of God. Before the face of God. As we worship here this afternoon, we do so Coram Deo before face of God. It is quite a thought. God is watching his people. He is guarding his people. Watching our hearts. You know, every moment of every day as a child of God, we live Coram Deo before the face of God. When we are waiting in the surgery for test results, we do so before the face of God. God is with us. God is with us. When the phone rings in the middle of the night, and it doesn't usually phone in the middle of the night, and we worry and we're anxious, God is with us. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. The Lord is never far away from his people. Do not be anxious. Do not let anxiety rob you of experiencing the nearness of God in your life. The Lord wants you to experience his peace. Numbers verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul lets the Philippians know that this peace which surpasses all understanding, guarding their hearts and their mind, this is the peace that the apostle wants this Philippian church to experience in their lives rather than being constantly anxious. The peace that originates with God, the peace that is given by God and is available to all His children, the serenity in which God lives, is what Paul is referring to. You see, the Lord God Himself is not beset with anxiety and worry, and He does not want His children to be beset with anxiety or worry either. First, the Christian is at peace with God. Paul tells us in Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, innocent in the sight of God by faith, all the wrath and condemnation is gone, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because through Him, we have obtained an access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice, Paul says, in the hope of the glory of God. We've been reconciled to God and with God. Because in our natural states, before the Lord entered into our experience, we were enemies of God. That's what we were. Enemies of God. And now we are adopted children of God. Like the leper last night, he has gone from unclean and he's bypassed common and he's gone straight to whole, to have peace with God. Jesus Himself said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, nor does I give to the world. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do not be afraid. So what does Paul tell us about this peace? Well, he tells us two things. First, it surpasses all understanding. It is beyond human comprehension, but yet we still experience it. It is God's peace. The world cannot understand this peace. Only those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus understand this peace and experience this peace. Paul tells the Ephesians, for He Himself, that is Jesus Christ, is our peace. Well, what else does Paul tell us about this peace that he wants us to experience? He says it will guard our hearts and it will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. God has complete superintendence even over our thought life. And yet, the Christian walk, you know it, I know it, the Christian walk very often is a difficult walk. We are called to persevere. It's a difficult walk at times, but it's the only walk. You know, sometimes the Lord will calm the storm. But sometimes He lets the storm rage and He will calm His child. Sometimes the storm may be all about us, but He'll calm His child. And very briefly, and I'm running out of time, God's avenue for you to experience His peace is prayer with thanksgiving. There's the key. The key is there in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This is God's set avenue for us to experience peace through communion with God by prayer. We saw that last night in the life of Jesus Himself. Likewise, the Philippians are exhorted to do the same. Prayer with supplications and requests. I'm going to miss out the wee bit at the end. But that is God's avenue for us. To experience that peace in our lives. Talk to God. Tell Him if you have an anxious heart. Tell Him your worries, your anxieties, your cares. Because it is especially common at the time of the communions for the devil to be at work. making us anxious about this and making us anxious about that, and trying to rob us of the peace that, God willing, we will enjoy tomorrow as we all sit at His table to be reminded of His grace and of His love. So let us be in prayer over these next few days. We pray for ourselves that we will have that peace, but also pray for others who you know who may be anxious and have certain worries in their lives at this time. God's avenue for the peace is prayer. And I will close with a little story I heard of a little girl. She was on a plane, and there was a few other passengers on this plane. She was only a young girl, she was about 10 years old, and she was sitting on her own. She didn't have an adult with her. And there was terrible turbulence on the plane. And there was a man sitting across, a businessman going on a business trip, and he was sweating and he was worried and he was anxious and he wasn't the best of flyers, and he was just having a horrendous time. The plane was all over the place, it was banging and they were going, and the wee girl was sitting there quite happily reading a book. She wasn't fazed, she wasn't worried, she wasn't anxious. He was amazed. So when the plane landed, they finally got to the airport and they landed, and he had to ask the little girl. And he says to the little girl, when we were 30,000 feet high and we were going bang, 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 and the plane was all over the place, weren't you worried or anxious? And she says, oh no, oh no. And she pointed and she says, see the pilot? That's my dad. He's taking me home. So it is with us. Do not be anxious. Pray. So let us pray now. Lord, we thank you indeed for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would steady our hearts and steady our minds. And Father, we know that we have many anxieties and worries in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, you have promised to give it to us. And Lord, by faith, we believe every promise contained within the word. We thank you for Jesus, who is indeed our peace, the one who died for us and gave himself for us. And we will be able to say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go before us, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing. Mission Praise 1003. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. So that's before David comes up, we'll sing Mission Praise 1003 to God's praise. Okay, so we'll hand over to David now.
Well, it's a very appropriate hymn that Joe chose at the end of the service there. My Jesus, my Saviour. It's a confession of faith. And we come to a point in the service just now. I'm going to invite Kyle to come forward, please. And just take a seat beside Farrakhan at the moment. We've heard the gospel being preached over these last few days, and we've heard the invitation going out to meet with the session, and the session were delighted to meet with Kyle yesterday evening. And Kyle has professed a desire to profess his faith in Jesus as his Saviour. And so we come to that point where Kyle will do that in just a moment. We'll pray just now. Father, we thank you for the words of that hymn, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us, each day that you give us in time, to respond to the message of the gospel, and to confess our sin, to turn from our sin, and to turn to Jesus as our Saviour. We thank you for Kyle, and for the work that you've been doing in his life over these last few months, perhaps years. And Lord, we thank you for the evidence of that and for this point you've taken him to, where he wants to profess that his faith is in Jesus, where he wants to say, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. So be with Kyle. Take away any anxiety. Bind the enemy who will seek to distract and to seek to rob us of our peace. We thank you that our peace is in you. We are to be anxious about nothing. But Lord, we are to trust you and profess that we trust you. And Lord, we pray that you would be with Kyle, especially as he does so just now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few words by way of context. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection and before his ascension to the right hand of God, commanded that the gospel should be preached throughout the whole world. He also instituted the sacrament of baptism, commanding that it should be ministered everywhere that the gospel is proclaimed. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And Peter, the apostle, he called the people on the day of Pentecost, saying in Acts chapter 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And that is our experience, and that has been Kyle's experience, the Lord calling him. So Kyle, can I invite you now please to stand? Kyle, this call to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ has been addressed to you in the gospel, and you have expressed your desire to confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by baptism in his name. And I'd like to invite the congregation now to stand with you. Kyle, I invite you to make confession of your faith and to answer with all sincerity and in the presence of God the questions I now put to you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your Lord?
I do.
Do you promise to join regularly with your fellow Christians in worship on the Lord's Day?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful in reading the Bible and in prayer? Do you promise to give a fitting proportion of your time and your talents and money for the church's work and the gospel in this world?
I do.
And do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to confess Christ, to serve him, and to walk in his ways all the days of your life?
I do.
The Lord bless you and enable you faithfully to keep these promises. Kyle, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And having been baptized and made confession of your faith, I do now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King and Head of the Church, admit you to the fellowship of his table. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I welcome you into the fellowship of this congregation and offer you, as the elders will join me in a moment, in giving you the right hand of fellowship. Fellowship just in a short while. Please all be seated. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel message that we have heard so clearly and powerfully proclaimed over these last few days. We thank you for the power and the simplicity of the good news about Jesus. That though our sins, we know, because you show us, are like scarlet, we can be washed and made as white as snow through the blood that was shed. We thank you for the incarnation, for Jesus coming from glory into this world. We thank you for the fact that he went in obedience to the cross, where he laid down his life and made it possible for us to be called children of God, friends of God, as those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wonder of the privilege and the riches that is bestowed upon us when we respond in faith to Jesus. We thank you for his death. We thank you for Jesus' resurrection and for the fact that that speaks to us of the completed, finished work of salvation. Our sins have been forgiven. Death has been overcome. Satan has been defeated. Christ rules. Christ reigns. Christ will one day return in great power. And Lord, we thank you for the fact of that, that although the storm may rage on in this world, we know that we are secure in Jesus. And we pray that we would know that steadying peace and security, and that we would have that constant sense of being ready for his return. Lord, we thank you for Kyle in particular today, and for the way that he has responded to the gospel, for the fact that he is called upon the name of the Lord, and he can be assured with all who have called upon the name of the Lord that they are saved. We thank you that we are assured that our names are written in heaven. And Lord, there is no one and there is nothing that can pluck us from your hand. Be with Kyle. We ask, Lord, that he would know not just your saving grace, but your sustaining grace. And we know that he will, because we've been reminded even today that when you begin a work, you bring it on to completion. So we ask that you would bless him and that you would give him a very real sense of your presence, both today and going to the table tomorrow, if we be severe to see it. We pray that you would use Kyle for your glory, and you would guide him in his life, that as he acknowledges you, that he would have his steps directed, and that he would glorify you in all that he does. Bless his family. Bless the gospel witness that has been so bright there over generations. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in this congregation and in this part of your vineyard and throughout the world, adding to the number of those who are saved. So bless us, we pray. Continue with us and enable us, as we sing in a moment, to be able to say together, in Christ alone, my hope is found. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing to conclude from Mission Phrase 1072, a great profession of faith as we go to the Lord's table. In Christ alone we sing, my hope is found. And can I remind you, the session is still open, and for those who have not yet confessed but who feel that call to do so, please be encouraged to come forward. I'm going to ask Julio now to close with a benediction.
And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.